Verses 11 through 32. Luke 15, chapter 11 through verses 32. Y'all there? Or is it up there? Oh, okay. Hi. Hi. I'll stand by. Well, anyway, this is Father's Day week coming up here, fellas. Happy Father's Day, guys, in advance. Are y'all here? Okay, then. We all qualify, don't we? One way or another. One way or another. That's right. Okay. This is what the Bible says. It's the parable of the prodigal son. Most of us have heard this, and I think it's just kind of fitting to fit our Bible study time tonight. And for, like I said, this is Father's Day week, so. And it's called The Far Out Son in a Far Country. But anyway, this is what the Bible says. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and bring it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. God bless the hearing and the reading to his word. Amen? Amen. And like I said, this is the parable that most of us have heard ever since we were little kids going to Sunday school and vacation Bible school. About the prodigal son. But I'm just here to tell you tonight, this Bible verse here is very personal to me because I was on both sides. I was both of the sons, pretty much, once upon a time in my life to my daddy. So, yep, I was disobedient. Yep, sure was. All right. The story of the prodigal son is not a story about sin. It's about lostness. Lostness, not badness, awayness. The true emphasis is not on the sons, but on the Father. It is an unveiling of the heart of God. The central truth of this parable is the picture of the Heavenly Father's heart of love towards undeserving sinners. Amen? All right. You see, the younger son, he exploded in rebellion. He knew what he wanted, and his desires led him to gamble all that he had in getting what he wanted, which God condemned. And see, the son, he loved sin. You see, it promised satisfaction to appetite and his ambitions, and it lured him by its promises. Its fascinations hypnotized him, and he had to go out and do his own thing. You see, he rebels against his father, and he shows that he's dissatisfied with his father's provisions, his father's restrictions, and his father's guidance. Now, see, that's where I was at. Back home in Waco, Texas, I was rebellious with my dad's house for his provision that he would give me while I was staying in his house, for his restrictions that he was laying down when I was in his house, and by the guidance that he was laying down. I didn't want to do what he wanted me to do. I didn't want to listen to what he had to say to me. I wanted to do my own thing. You see? But see, it was different in this parable. See, with the elder son, he liked it at home. Not that he loved his father any more or any less. You see, like the rest of us, he wanted to have his own way. He thought he was smart enough to manage his father and to get out of him what he wanted. Does that sound familiar? Okay. You see, this son, he loves himself too much to be interested in pleasing anybody but himself. Pride born of self-conceit was this son's guiding star. You see, these are good pictures of sinful man. Victimized by sin, deluded and deceived by sin, and rebelling against the loving Father. This is also a great picture of a loving God, who is patiently and lovingly waits for us to return of not being prodigal anymore. All right, number one, if you got your outline, the far country was not measured by distance. Anywhere a man is away from God, a world without God is not good. Whenever you are not in fellowship with God, your life is like in a faraway country. You do not belong there. You see, both of these sons, they sought to please themselves. In that essence, they're both still in faraway countries. But listen to the directives here and these phrases from the two prodigals. The younger one said over in verse 12, he said, Father, give me. You see, he gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. He squandered his estate in foolish living. He spent everything, and then a severe famine struck, and then he had nothing. Then he went to work. He had to go to work feeding the pigs. We see that in verse 15. And then he got so hungry that he wanted to eat the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one would give him anything. And now, the older son, he became angry. He didn't go into the party that was going on. And his father pleaded with him. And he replied to his father, I have been slaving and I've never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. That sounds kind of selfish, don't it? You see, the older son said, this son of yours, not my brother. This brother was so mad at the other brother that he was willing to disown him. You see, we all have been prodigals of the Father's gifts. We have all received of him, one way or another. Yet have we lived as though Christ had never died. We have lived with self at the center, away from the compassionate, loving heart and the home of Father God. The departure of the younger son, we see that over in verses 12 and 13. Here is a type of lostness that is obvious. It is obvious to the son and to the others that he is not at home. He's away in a far country. This son, he's not a worker. He's a waster. This son, he's not lifting up. He's dragging down. This son, he's not creating, he's destroying. Why did this young man go away to the far country? That's the question I wanted to ask. But one of the reasons is that he went away because he was seeking to please himself. He was so intent on pleasing himself that he had no thought of the pain or loss that might come to himself or to anyone else. Self-pleasing is the very essence of sin. Now, self-pleasing is expensive too. I'm a witness to that. Nothing can be more so. If you can be so bent on pleasing yourself, you're doomed to pay an incredible price later. If self-pleasing is my God, it will hurt me. It will also hurt the others that I love that are all around me. No man ever sinned without wounding somebody else. You see, this had cost him his fellowship of his father and all the joys that he had in his home. It cost him his freedom. For it was his freedom that he went out to seek by leaving home. This son said, "Give me." And he said to his father, in the hour of his self-will, when his heart was broken, he said, "Make me." You see, it cost him the doing of cost him the, a lot of humiliation to do this. To the Jew, that was humiliation. It cost him very well. It was the demise of the younger son. You see, first when he reached the far country, what did he do? He wasted his substance with riotous living. I've done that before. The word riotous means without saving. He took the gifts his father bestowed on him and spent them in a faraway country without making provisions for leaner days and ultimately for the need for his life. The son, what did he waste? He wasted all of the possessions from his father. So man is seen here going out from God to waste his substance. God is substance. And then this son, he joins himself to a citizen. And what will we do to the citizen? You see, the citizen sent him out into the field to feed the swine. This was prolonged degradation to a Jewish man because he was dealing with pigs that were unclean to him. No man gave unto to the younger son. Their only interest was in him was to make him be their machine and to feed the hogs. Each for himself. If he fails, let him die. That is all the far countryman seen from this young man. You see, certain other things stood out about the elder brother. His attitude shows that his years of obedience to his father had been years of grim duty and not of loving service. His whole attitude is one of utter lack of sympathy. He refers to his brother as not my brother, but as your son. He had a peculiar, nasty mind. There is no mention of harlots until he mentions it. He no doubt suspected and accused his brother of the sins himself that he would more likely commit himself. You see, this type is seldom counted as a loss, either by him or others. This makes his condition even more hopeless. He is not away in a distant land among swine in that case, like the prodigal brother, but he is also just as lost. He is in an environment that is wholesome and clean. Now the elder son was now out in the field working. He was not a waster. He was a worker. The fact that he was in the field indicates that he was a toiler. The elder brother did not indeed have some virtues which deserve respect. Socially, he had not brought reproach upon his father. He had resisted all temptation to physical dispossession. He despised slothfulness. He was the enemy of extravagance. His conduct created no scandal. He was no enemy of moral laxity. He was not no gambler. He condemned lawlessness. He required himself to abhor immorality. You see, this elder brother had missed the high quality in his father's life. He simply could not understand his father's patience, his father's forbearance, and the grief over the younger brother's absence from home. His heart had become so frozen by his selfish conceit that he lacked understanding or compassion. His brother was a notorious sinner. He himself was righteous. His brother deserved nothing except to be abused and unabraded. He deserved to be praised and honored. and he was an utter stranger to what his brother had suffered because of his sin. Now notice the indignation here in verses 28 and verses 30. He is absolutely out of sympathy with both his father and his brother. His father, he grieves over the fact that his younger son is in a far country, but his elder brother does not grieve. He begins a way to matter of no importance to whatever. Then whenever the prodigal returns, his father rejoices greatly. But there is no joy on the part of the other son. He has no love for the father or his brother. It's interesting to note that of the seven deadly sins of tradition, four are of the mind and the spirit, and three pertain to the flesh. It was the sins of the flesh, lust, gluttony, and sloth that overwhelmed the prodigal. It was the sins of the spirit, pride, covetousness, envy, and anger that took captive of the elder brother. They are sins perhaps more deadly than the sins of the flesh. Basically, these sins of the spirit are born out of conceit that makes us all desires and seem righteous and good. In the end, they are repelled by the sins of others and proud of their own. The sins of the spirit are insidious and scandalous. They easily deceive the public and those who are in their power into thinking either they are harmless, or as a matter of fact, they are more desirable. It is a difficult awakening to such sinners to the realization of their own sin. Both brothers had revolted against their father, the younger from the parental control and the elder from the parental love. Each wanted the same thing, to have his own way. You see, both of these brothers, it caused both fellowship with their father. It caused both of them freedom. That's what he had left to find, and he ended up a slave. The one who stayed home was a slave to his own desires. It cost him everything. The younger, he had spent it all, and the older never enjoyed what he had. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible says, "Your sins have withheld my bounty from you." In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 8, the Bible says, "The one who sows injustice will reap disaster, sow iniquity or reap vanity." And here's the illustration. It's a cotton candy existence. Has anybody here ever eaten cotton candy? I know I have. Have you? Okay. Actually, the last time I put cotton candy in my mouth, it seemed to disappear. It looked really good. It promises a great deal, but it didn't deliver. The far country is a land of deception. You see, he came to himself. This is this younger son. He came to himself. And before that, he was out of his mind. Sin had distorted his vision and clouded his mind. Sin is insanity. The same irrationality characterized the older brother as well. As long as man is away from God, he is not really himself. Only himself when he is on his way back to the Father. The older son never came back. The younger one, he did. He recognized his desperate condition. "My father," that's what the younger son said. And then the younger son also, he confessed, he said, "I perish with hunger." This was a confession that had sobbed its way through the centuries. Meet it anywhere. Find it in your church and out of the church. High and low, rich and poor, famous and obscure, young and old, cultured and common, educated and illiterate, peers from eyes tired of time to satisfy self with the husk of a far country. Recognize the Father's sufficiency. How many of our Father's hired hands have more than enough food? That's the determination to return, and we find that over in verse 18 and verse 20. The younger son, he said, "I'll go, get up and go to my father." So he got up and went to his father. He arose and came to the father. I can only have imagined his condition that if he had never returned. But he arose and came back home, having to come to himself. He had to come to the decision, and what a decision it was. And he said, "I will arise and reform. I will arise and join the church." No, joining the church is altogether right and worthwhile, but joining the church is not enough. I will arise and go to work. This is good too. Working is altogether right and proper, but the resolution of this pleasure seeking is more fundamental still. I will rise and go to my father, and I will never stop, the younger son declares, until I come face to face with God. And having resolved to go home to his father, he further decides to tell the plain truth about himself. Having made this decision, he put it into effect. He arose and came to the father. The reception of the father, we read about that over in verse 20. The father looked up and saw him, and he had compassion. The father loved him. The father ran to him, eager to restore the son. The father fell on his neck and kissed him. This is a sign of restoration. In verse 21, the son, he confesses, forgiven, but still had to confess. This is the spirit of repentance. God forgives, but man does not forget. After the kiss of reconciliation, the confession takes place. The more he knows of the Father's love, the more he grieves even more to have sinned against that kind of love. Sinner, come home. God loves you. Psalm 103, verses 11 through 12. This is what the Bible says. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. The ordinary slave was in a sense a member of the family, but the hired servant could be dismissed at a day's notice. He was not one of the family at all, so he came home. And according to the best Greek text, his father never gave him the chance to be asked to be a servant. He broke in before that. That robe stands for honor. The ring stands for authority. For if a man gave to another his signet ring, it was the same as giving him the power of attorney. The shoes stand for a son as opposed to a slave. For children of the family were shod and slaves were not. Robe, ring, and royal sandals await the lost one. These three things answer the exact prayer which he meant to have prayed. The robe is the answer to I have sinned. The ring is the answer to I have no more worthy to be called your son. The sandals, they constitute the answer to make me one of thy hired servants. These symbols of the Eastern culture put the robe on him, that robe that befits the father's house. The ring was the sign of relationship of sonship. Put a ring on his finger. He is my son. Give him the sign of sonship. Put shoes on his feet. The slave was never permitted to wear shoes, and the badge of slavery was the absence of sandals. And one of the hardest things in the world is to stop being the prodigal son without turning into the elder brother. Father God, we thank you right now for this time, Lord God. Father, we thank you for this parable about the prodigal son, Father God. Father, we pray, Father, let us not be like the elder son, self-righteous in his own way, Father, being in his father's house, Father, having all those rights and privileges, Father. But, Father, one way or another, Lord God, each and every one of us was that runaway son, Lord God. All of us have fallen short, Father, and done sinful things, Father, against you, Lord God. But, Father, you were there waiting for us, Lord God. You just wanted us to come home to you, God.